I find this morning's gospel about the raising of Lazarus somewhat disturbing. It's not the raising of that lifeless corpse that troubles me. Rather, I'm puzzled by Jesus's initial indifference to Martha and Mary and their desperate appeal to him. The gospel tells us that when Jesus was informed of Lazarus's life-threatening illness, he nonetheless delayed his journey to Bethany for 2 full days. Nor does the text offer any explanation for this dawdling behavior. There is no mention, for instance, that Jesus was engaged in a more pressing matter, or that he was laid up himself in bed. Remarkably, Jesus doesn't even bother to excuse himself when Martha scolds him rather sharply. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even the townspeople are left scratching their heads. Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept Lazarus from dying? They might well have framed their indignation in these words: where is Jesus when you need him? What adds to my puzzlement is that in other parts of St. John's Gospel, Jesus promptly comes to the aid of people in need of healing, people who have no claim whatsoever on his friendship. For example, the royal official's dying son in Capernaum, or the paralyzed man lying by the pool of Bethesda, or the man born blind. We have to wonder then why Jesus would extend himself to these people, but not to one of his closest friends. The question of Jesus's inaction is not mere pedantic speculation on my part. In fact, it is of great pastoral significance. As a priest, I encounter people, not infrequently, who are angry at God, or at least disillusioned with God because of God's apparent indifference to their pain. For some, that pain is the crushing loneliness they endure. For others, it's the hate-filled prejudice they experience day in and day out. For still others, it's the heartbreaking death of a loved one. In each case, the person scornfully questions how God, if God is so good, can allow such suffering. They echo Martha's protest: Lord, if you wanted to, you could ease my loneliness. You could reform this racist society. You could cure my daughter riddled with cancer. These people are not alone in their unanswered complaints. The Bible is chock full of prophets and princes who voiced similar frustration. Job, for instance, that man of infinite patience, moans, "I cry to you for help, O God, but you answer me not. I stand before you and you look right through me." And King David laments, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you indifferent to my groaning? I cry out day by day and you do not answer, and night by night and I find no rest." The great reformer Martin Luther captured well the exasperation of those who encounter this seeming wall of indifference on God's part. In a moment of profound turmoil, Luther explained, "Either bless us, Lord, or curse us, but remain not silent." Well, as Christian disciples, my sisters and brothers, you and I must grapple with this dilemma. As people of faith, we cannot surrender too easily to despair. Without minimizing the profound discouragement of people who feel abandoned by God, it's important for us to emphasize that the silence of God is not the same thing as the absence of God. After all, the psalmist assures us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Is it possible that God could be close to someone who is brokenhearted and not feel their pain? In those moments when God's silence appears to be deafening, we must struggle against anger or resentment, and with unwavering faith, hold fast to the belief that God is not only present with us in our pain, but in fact even suffers that pain along with us. The Holocaust writer Elie Wiesel, in his deeply poignant account of survival in the Nazi death camps, describes an incident where Jewish prisoners were forced to line up one day and watch as two men and a little boy were hanged on the gallows. Wiesel recounts how the two men died almost immediately, their tongues hanging out, swollen and bluish. But the little boy, being too light, dangled in excruciating anger for more than 20 minutes. As the other prisoners stood by helplessly, Wiesel reports, "I heard a man behind me mutter, 'Where is your God now?'" Wiesel says, "At first I didn't know how to respond, but then from within me I heard a voice answer, 'Where is God? He's here with us now. He's hanging there on the gallows.'" Wiesel recognized what our faith assures us, that God suffers with us. In moments of acute pain, it's not always easy to find comfort in that truth. So this morning, let's beg for the grace to know deep in our hearts that God is always with us in our joys and in our pains. But let's also ask for the additional grace that we might remember this truth in those moments that we need it most. My sisters and brothers, the season of Lent is a time of special preparation for the elect who will be baptized at the Easter Vigil. Today we celebrate the third scrutiny with them. I call now the elect forward with their sponsors. Stacy, Don, Peter, Anthony, Jason, Michael, Jim, Fadi, Dasol, Ryan, Rachel, Spencer, and Anand. My brothers and sisters, let us now pray in silence that these elect will be given the true freedom of the children of God. Sponsors, place your hand on the shoulders. Let us pray for these elect whom God has chosen. May the grace of the sacraments conform them to Christ in his passion and resurrection, and enable them to triumph over the bitter fate of death.
That these elect may be given the faith to acknowledge Christ as the resurrection and the life, we pray. We long to rise to new life, deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. they may be freed from sin and grow in the holiness that leads to eternal life, we pray. We long to rise to love, deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. That liberated by repentance from the shackles of sin, they may become like Christ by baptism, dead to sin and alive forever in God's sight, we pray. We long to rise to new life, deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. That they may be filled with the hope of the life-giving Spirit and prepare themselves thoroughly for their birth to new life, we pray. That the Eucharistic food which they are soon to receive may make them one with Christ, the source of life and of resurrection, we pray. We long to rise to new life, deliver us, O Lord. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
Dear elect, please kneel. God of the living, you sent your Son to proclaim life, to snatch us from the realm of death, and to lead us to the resurrection. Free these elect from the death-dealing power of the spirit of evil, so that they may bear witness to their new life in the risen Christ, for he lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.